Today, we're finishing up this entire book of Acts. It's an incredible book, and we spent a whole year. I don't know, like, I can't be like, you know, Jim Boyce or John MacArthur preaching on this book for like 5 years or 10 years. I can't do that. Just don't have the guts to do that. But I spent a whole year on this one book, which is not nothing. And we spent, this is 32nd message. And next week, we will have an epilogue. Just summary of everything. So finishing up with 33 messages. That's significant. Can I just tell you something? The end is very important. How you end this worship service is important. How you end this year is important. How you end your semester is important. You know, for those of you who are students, you know, finals are the most important thing. Finals, right? And more importantly, how you end your life is important. You know why it is important? Because how you end your life really reveals how you lived. I think that's why it is important, right? So how does this book end? How does Paul's life end, sort of end? Sit down, yeah, right? How does he end, right? I think that's very important. And you know, every single one of you, you will have an end. Oh man, he's depressing. No, I'm not depressing. This is the glorious hope in Christ Jesus. You're gonna have an end on this side of eternity. You're gonna have an end to this worship service. And you're gonna have an end to this year. Are you even thinking about it? Because how you end really reveals how you lived, okay? So that as an introduction. Oh. The title for today, very provocative. You know, Bible is very provocative. You think, oh, Pastor Paul is a very provocative person. Not as much as the Bible, okay? This is straight from the Bible. And I hope you be sincere and authentic and real to the scripture because God is speaking to you because he loves you, right? Not because he hates you. And the title for today is Some Convinced, Some Believed, and Some Others Disbelieved. Did you take a look at the title? What came to my mind was, what about your family? Some believe and some disbelieve. Is that okay? Of course it's not okay. Right? Is that optional? I don't think so. If it is optional, I would not be here. I would rather not, okay? Either way, it's fine, and then I would just forget about it, right? So some believe, and others disbelieved. This is Paul's statue. I just saw it for the first time yesterday in Google with a big sword and in Rome, in Vatican, in front of Vatican, in Rome. So Paul is in Rome. I'm excited, okay? So here's the final section, the end of Book of Acts, which is a exciting, dynamic book, if you understand it. Man, you know, this time around for me, as I'm studying it, I preached this book twice, maybe 15 years ago, and then this year. Oh, it just comes alive. Historically, resurrection comes alive. What the early church looked like comes alive. What I need to live for comes alive. Everything comes alive through this book. Okay, so how does it end? Okay, Acts 28, verse 23. Paul is in Rome, and he is testifying to the Jews. I just can't get my head wrapped around this thing. He keeps saying, he goes to the Jews and he gets persecuted. They try to kill him. And he said, no, okay, I'm going to the Gentiles. And I'm going to preach to them. Every time he goes to the different city, he goes to the Jews again. You figure that out. Right? So he's testifying his case. Why? You know, he was kind of persecuted to be... you know, thrown into prison and they want to kill him. Verse 23, when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers, from morning till evening. How do you like to have a service from like morning till evening? I don't know whether you could keep up with that. I don't know whether I could keep up with that. But morning till evening, they have service. And Paul expounding the scripture. And here's the key word, testifying about the kingdom of God and try to convince the people, open your eyes about Jesus. From where? From the law and the prophets, which means the scripture in the entire Old Testament. That's what he did. That's what he's there for. Try to open your eyes and testifying about kingdom and Jesus. Do you believe that? If not, Bible calls you blind. Blind. I know he's a provocative person. Well, let me be. The Bible calls you a blind person. Okay? So he did that. He testified, expounding the scripture about kingdom and Jesus, Messiah, right? If he is who he is, it's worth knowing, and everything else in this world compared to him is negligible. Right? So what's the result? Some convinced and others disbelieved. Oh man, you know, I was reading this week again and again and again, and I was just thinking, why does it have to end like this? You know, gospel ends like this. Book of Acts ends like this. Some believe and others disbelieve. Is that okay? Some of your family members believe and others disbelieve. Is that okay? And they disagree among themselves. And they departed Paul by one statement that Paul made. Okay? We kind of figure out what's going on here. Oh, this is the Roman Empire. Those of you are joining for the first time. Historical book. There is reliability to this book. In fact, the author of the book, Luke, is a physician, medical doctor, personal companion of Paul, and he was a historian. Carefully studied. More carefully than we would ever be able to do it. Carefully constructed. And it's like a part one and part B, part 2B book of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. It's one book. One is about Jesus. One is about what happened after Jesus, what happened to the church. You should get to know, okay? So it happens around Roman Empire, which is surrounded by, it's, you know, centered around Mediterranean Sea. Paul started from Jerusalem all the way to Myra, and then Fairhaven, shipwreck. Last week, we talked about that for 14 days. 14 days he was in shipwreck. In a storm. He barely survived. But God promised to him, you're going to have to stand before Caesar. And from there, he arrived to Malta, Sicily, and then to Rome. Historical book, okay? So what happened? Why are they not believing? They disagreeing among them, and they were leaving with disagreement by what Paul said. And Paul said this, listen to this, Holy Spirit is right. I highlighted that. Holy Spirit was right. About what? In saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but you will never understand. You hear it, but you don't understand it. Right? You see it, but you do not perceive it. Why? Because people's heart has grown dull. Okay? And their ears, they could barely hear. Their eyes, they could have closed. Lest they should see with their ears and hear with their ears, and they will understand with their heart. Did you know that? Understanding is your heart. Do you go to physical? I go to yearly physical. You know, now I have to do it. In the past, I just did whenever I wanted to go. But now I go, and I have a good doctor, good physician. He happens to be a Caucasian man, and he's really, really kind. And physical in this office takes about 1 hour and 15 minutes. Okay? One of the things that I mean, those of you who go to physical, they take your vitals, right? Your blood pressure, pulse, you know, blood. And one of the key thing is EKG, for especially people who are a little older. What is EKG? Electrocardiogram. It's about your heart, condition of your heart. Did you ever get one? It's a little nerve-wracking. Make sure this is like regular and just goes up and down in the right places. There's no skipping of beats and things like that. Have you ever checked your heart? Because heart is the heart of the matter in Christianity. It really is. Today we're going to try to do that. Not anyone else's heart, your heart I'm talking about. Not your spouse, not your children, but your heart. Have you ever checked your heart? Okay. Heart has grown dull. Okay. Understanding through their heart. And if you understand it, you will turn. And God will heal your heart and heal your life. Is your life broken? Is your family broken? Is your relationship at home broken? God could heal your, broken lives. Is it full of anger? We talked about this darkness last week. Is it full of this darkness? Can I just describe it for a moment, darkness, one more time? Darkness is very fearful place. You're living in fear. Fear of what may, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Fear of other people. Fear of other people finding out about you, what you really are like. Fear of even people coming close to you. Fear of hopelessness. What happens if I fail? What happens if people don't like me? Are you living in darkness? You know, if you understand in your heart, you will turn and you'll be healed. Okay? And the very last few verses. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to Gentiles, and they will listen. Because you don't listen, salvation is sent to someone else. If you don't keep listening, it'll be sent to someone else. Don't think you own it. You deserve it. We don't deserve it. Right? I keep offering you, buy you a nice dinner, and you say, you're putting it up. It's not like, you know, I have other people that I could have dinner with. Right? So Paul lived there for 2 years with his own expense. I don't know why this is added, at his own expense. Okay? And he welcomed all who came to him. So he's in a house arrest, and people were coming to him proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching them about Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. Now he's in prison and seems like not. Right? He's definitely in arrest, house arrest. But people are coming to him, and gospel is being preached with all boldness, without any hindrance. And that's how the book ends. Do you feel like this is an end? I don't know about you, but this definitely doesn't feel like an end. But you know, one of those movies, right? You know it is ending, but you know this is not the end. It's that kind of book, historical book. Book of Acts. Okay? So that's the end. And I just want to think about a few thoughts. Three thoughts. With some sub-thoughts. Okay? Few thoughts from the text. So Paul made it to Rome. Big deal, right? Do you remember how this book started? It started in chapter 1 when Holy Spirit came upon these believers. Jesus told them to pray, and they prayed, and when the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Bible says, they will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's the theme. Now, it started in Jerusalem, it ends in Rome. How do you like that? What's the big deal? Jerusalem is the center of Christianity, mainly for the Jews. What about Rome? It's the center of the world. He stands before Caesar. and preaching the gospel, testifying. Okay, how did that happen? He went through this storm. Look at this. Remember this? I like this picture. If you could see it, this is a boat or ship, and this is the storm. Okay, how did he get there? Because God told Paul, you're going to have to stand before Caesar. You're going to have to testify about me in Rome. Okay. What's written in the final section of the book of Acts, however, intrigues. That's how it ends. He's preaching to the Jews and they don't listen. Some believe and some don't believe. Is that the end? Right? Expounding, testifying to the kingdom of God and Jesus from the prophets and the law. Right? So that's it. And, you know, I want us to look at this one more time. Okay, where is this? Right? Some were convinced and others disbelieved. When you look at a verse like this, can I just ask you, what goes through your mind? What goes through your mind? Something is going through your mind. Some believed and some didn't. Which side? Some believed and some didn't. Which side are you? That's what's going through your mind. And maybe not. I asked a few people during this week, specifically, what goes through your mind when you read a passage like this? Does it bother you? How does it affect you? It should definitely affect you. If you don't care about this, your EKG is flat. Your heart is flat. Your heart, I'm talking about your heart. The heart of the matter is the heart, right? But you have some sort of, you know, something goes through your mind, right? So I asked a couple of people, and one person said, you know, honestly, he or she happens to be kind of wondering which side I'm in right now. And then after a little bit, maybe like a few minutes, I began to think, at least I do this. In the past, at least I did all that. Well, at least compared to all these people, I'm here. Kind of thinking and reasoning. Does that mean your heart is in the healthy state? I don't know about that. I'm not judging this. I'm explaining this because this is the heart of the matter. Okay? I asked another person, and this person said a little bit more theological. You know what he said? He said, you know why we become like this? We become like this because we are very generous. I am very generous toward myself, but very keen and critical toward others. That's good. That's pretty good. Can I ask you, are you pretty generous about your walk? I think I tend to be. I tend to be, honestly. Are you very generous? I think those are good place to begin. Nevertheless, this is where you are. This is where you are. Okay? And I want to expound about this a little more because this is the end. Okay? Why is there a division? You know why? Because listen to me carefully. Wherever the gospel is preached, it always divides. Always divides. Sheep and the goats, wheat and tares, believing and unbelieving. Followers and those who fade away. Always divides. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. Okay? Make no mistake about it. So how do you explain it? Okay? The second thought is, how do you explain it? I think the key is right here, okay? The key is right here. Heart has grown dull. Your life stems from your heart. When was the last time you had a physical? Oh, I'm too young to have a physical. Really? Maybe you are. But when was the last time you checked your heart. Can I just remind you? Working with your own heart is what Christian life is. That's what Christian life is. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals, your heart. It really is. Okay? I think the key word is right here. And I think in this statement, the key word is this word, dull. What does that mean? Dull. NIV renders calloused. Okay? Different translation, different rendition. I look up the original word, what that means. How can the heart become calloused or dull, like a knife becomes a dull, sword becomes dull? You know what it means? This word means it becomes thick. Now you begin to catch it, right? Thick. Your heart becomes thick. I don't think that's a good description. Okay? What does that mean? How does your heart get thick? You must think about this. How does your heart get thick? Those of you who took biology or medicine, whatever, you know the word sclerosis? Sclerosis means stiffening and hardening. And cardia, your heart. Your vessel, outer layers becomes very thick and it gets very stiffened. Not good. Because it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. When it is completely blocked, yeah, that's no good. It's going to rupture. It's going to break. The thick, getting thick is no good. My question to you is, how thick is your heart? Okay. Second question is, how did you get there? Okay, sub-question is, do you even see it? Okay, we did a spiritual physical in our discipleship, and we have this available for you. Okay, I made up of like three areas of Christianity and have sub-questions. It's not really to like number anything, but for you to really evaluate your own life. We did that last week. Let me just tell you, it is made up of three sections. One is about your personal walk with the Lord. Christianity starts from Him, and the life needs to flow from Him to you. Otherwise, there is no Christianity. Okay? No Christianity. The second area is when that flows and you begin to relate. You begin to relate to your wife. You begin to relate to your children. Begin to relate to your family members. You begin to relate to your coworkers. All the relationships. And the third and final area is, what do you live for? Are you living a purpose? There's a clear purpose if you're a Christian. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Are you living it? So under those three headings, we each had about 10 questions. And the very first question of the first section, your personal life, that devotion, communion with the Lord. First question, can I just ask you for you to answer to yourself? Do you have desire for the Word of God? The question is not, are you reading the Word of God? Do you have appetite for the Word of God? Those of you who are in a medical field, I know that's an important question. How's your appetite? That's the first question. I didn't ask you whether you're checking off, whether you're reading, following something. But my question to you is, and not my question, the first question is, do you have a desire for the Word of God or for the Lord? One of the questions in relationship, if you check your heart, are you angry toward anyone? Just a question. It's like a blood test, okay? It's like a blood test. Are you angry toward anyone? Right? You don't want this to happen. brothers and sisters. I share this today. I dread it sometimes, preaching this kind of message. But with so much prayer and love, I wanted to preach this. Some believe and some disbelieve. Is that okay? It's not okay. What comes to my mind is, whoever believes in him shall not perish, right? But will have everlasting life, which means if you disbelieve, you're heading toward destruction. That's what it means. So it's not okay. And that's a factual matter. It happened, it was like that in the Old Testament. It was like that in the New Testament. And it is like that right now. It is like that in this church. And I'm just stating it very clearly. Some of you are convinced, and some of you disbelieve. How do you know you disbelieve or not? Not sure. I can't tell. But here's a hint, though. Okay, here's a hint. When you hear messages like this, you have a desire to check and turn. If you are getting angry, probably you're in disbelieving category. Disbelieving category, if you're getting angry. Right? Because that cannot be the response the Holy Spirit is triggering in your heart. If you're getting angry right now, I'm saying this with such love, really. Because you know why? Because I was really asking the Lord today. God desires, not me, but God desires, hopefully through my heart, all of you to be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus. Amen? He does. He doesn't want to diss you. You want to do that, not him. You want to do that. You really trying, looking for a reason to justify your sickness. You're looking for a reason to justify your sickness, mainly by blaming. Never works. It doesn't work here. Maybe works here, but not when you stand before the Lord. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Okay? Dull. How do you get dull? I really thought about this question. I asked this question. You hear it, but you don't understand it. Do you notice it? You're hearing it, but you don't understand. You know why? Because you close your ears. He wants you to understand and turn so he could heal your life and bring life unto you. But you're closing your ears. We're going to talk about predestination and free will this Saturday. I have a lot of homework to do. Predestination is a biblical word, and it presumes his great love towards you, mercy towards you. But a lot of people, maybe not you, who kind of questions predestination and free will, kind of question God, especially of his goodness, right? Isn't that the case? There are some of you who really want to know how it works, but there are others of people who basically say, how could great God predestine some people and not others? You know what? I was reading this in Ligonier Ministry. R.C. Sproul was saying, when he pours his grace, okay, your heart orientation as sinners, all of you, is naturally rebelling against God. And only by God's great hand of grace, you could remain and continue to have an opportunity to turn to him. All he has to do is just let you do whatever you want to do. Right? It's not like injecting evil into you. He's not injecting evil into you. We are already evil. All he has to do is just do nothing. Do you understand that? Free will within the big sovereignty of God. Of course, not outside of the boundary of sovereignty of God. That does not exist. Okay, you maybe say, that's not fair. Well, that's just the way it is. He made us. But we do have free will. That's why there is evil. There's a possibility of evil. But because we have free will, we could love him back. Without free will, How do you love someone? You're a robot. Everything is determined. That's not the way it is. Let me go back to the scripture, okay? How thick is your heart? Layer of your heart. Your heart. Can you take a look at your heart? If you could just open it and lay it right before you. And you put a lens on, lens of Holy Spirit. You take a look at it. And you should. You really should. My heart. Not his, not hers, but your own heart. Okay. You know why people get thick? Because you hear it and you ignore it. That's why. Because you hear it, God knocks on the door and you ignore it. And you just kind of put it off. You're ignoring right now, some of you. You need to respond. You need to be obedient, right? Obedience in Christianity is loving God. When you understand the love of God, you need to love, you know, respond to Him. That's a natural thing. You know why it gets thicker and thicker and thicker? Because you do not respond. You ignore it. You ignore grace. You ignore mercy. That's why it gets thicker and thicker and thicker until you feel no more. You barely hear it right now. Barely hear it. And your eyes are closed. I'm quoting Isaiah right now. Okay? Are you getting angry? That can't be from the Lord. You know that, right? That can't be from the Lord. If it is not of the Lord, you discern the spirit. What is that spirit from then? If that is not of the Lord, you hear this and you're getting angry. Why would you get angry? What would make you angry? What is anger, by the way? Anger is basically, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You can't tell me that. Well, God is speaking to you, right? It's through the scripture, very clearly. Your heart gets dull. And I think the way, anatomically, I think this is the way it looks. I'm not talking about physical heart. It gets thicker by layers. 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 Really. Every single week. Layers. By layers it gets thick. It gets so thick. And it gets hardened. Sclerosis. Sclerocardia. And then eventually it gets so hard. And eventually it dies. Okay? And I'm really pouring my heart onto you because there are people who are ignoring it. I know. I sense it. I know. And you get angry. Okay. Lastly, one more thought. Okay, one last one. Right here. This is the two last verses. Okay. The salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. If you keep ignoring it, it'll be sent to Gentiles, someone else. Koreans, Asian Americans, we need to humble ourselves. I really mean it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. We don't own it. Okay? So what's the scene? Paul lived in house arrest, welcoming everybody. Seems like a lot of people are coming in. Okay? All who came to him, and he proclaimed to them the kingdom of God and teaching them about Jesus Christ with all boldness and hindrance. Does it look like an end to you? Someone calls this never-ending story. You know, history of God is about witnesses testifying. You see that in the book of Acts. It's not about kings and queens. It's about witnesses. You see that, right, in the book of Acts. And this chapter 28, obviously does not end here. It is continuing, and it is continuing now through the witnesses. I'm just encouraging you, brothers and sisters. History is about witnesses. It's not even about the kings and queens. Felix, Festus, Agrippa, even Caesar, they're there. Never focused. It's about witnesses. Do you see it? It's God's never-ending story. Acts chapter 28 ends here, but 29 continues until Christ returns. Okay? Brothers and sisters, I pray that may the Spirit of the Lord begin to remove the layers of your thick heart. It's going to take a while. Layers of unbelief. Layers of unbelief. One diagnostic question. Do you have desire for the word? Diagnostic. I'm not saying that's it. A diagnostic question. Let's pray.